funny. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. I want to take that word entangled, and I want to speak tonight on the topic, on the subject, the theme, tangled souls. Tangled souls. Let's look to God and ask His blessing. Blessed Jesus, I know that You're the healer of the body. You can give us the strength we need for this occasion. I know, God, that You could touch our minds. We don't want the devil to steal these words tonight before they get to our hearts. We don't want folks, God, to look at the ceiling or the floor or out the door or window somewhere when we're trying to preach the gospel. You know the souls tonight that need You the most.
Yeah.
You know that one that's closest to hell. And I pray that somehow in this message, in this service, You'll get a hold of that soul, God, that's so tangled up, and straighten them out. Before the devil drags them down, before they go bad, before they lose out, God, I pray that You'll have mercy on that one and bring them back into full fellowship with the church, with the Spirit of the living God, with our holy word. We ask it all in Jesus' name.
Sure.
Amen. I went fishing. Oh, yes, I did. When I got out to California, I went fishing. You didn't know I was a fisherman.
Well, I didn't either.
And I had a little skinny pole. And I got out there in that big Pacific Ocean with a little Zebco reel, maybe 6-8 pound line, and they got big fish out there. And the waves were so high that they just wash all the little bait all around, wouldn't stay anywhere. So I put a lot of weights on it and let it go clear down the bottom. And I waited. And I waited. And I got so cold I had to turn up my collar. Freezing out there. I mean in the summertime. July. And I was cold. All of a sudden I got so discouraged I pulled up that thing 4 or 5 times and somebody had been swallowing the bait. And finally I let it go down. I guess I let it stay there about 15 minutes and well, I said, I guess it's gone again. Didn't get a nibble or nothing, but I start pulling it in and all of a sudden it got kind of, you know, heavy. You know how that works. Well, I didn't know what was going on the end of the line. I'm a fisherman. I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Pretty soon I said, well, I guess I got a log on this thing. I must have got some seaweed on it or something. Pretty soon it began to move around. I said, well, this is a swimming log I got because it's moving on me. And I got it up so high and I caught a halibut. Big old fat halibut, and I rolled him in there, got him up, and barbecued him on the shore. Well, it was just God that put it on there, because I couldn't have caught him any other way. I just might as well confess the fault, you know. God had to put him on there. I didn't have no sense to even jerk the hook and set it. But anyhow, I got that fish. And I tried this surf cast. I watched them do it. Of course, they had the equipment. Some of those boys had big poles and great big rods and reels, and they'd get out there and zing, they'd let it fly. They'd sail way out there, and they'd catch ocean perch, lake cod, a few other types of fish, and sea bass, and just bring them right in. I mean, big ones, too. Well, I tried it with my little old thing that I've been catching crappie with, you know. And I threw it out there, and zing! It had to go a long ways. And you stand up here, and you waste water, and your towels is all. I don't believe in stripping. Bless God, nobody's beach.
No.
Hallelujah. I just
got away. I'm not trying to ruin the story. But anyhow, I stood out there and I saw that big old gob of Veda had sailing out there, and I said, well, it's going way out. But all of a sudden it went so far and it come back again. Backlash.
Yeah.
Well, the other boy, he was a fishing, and Ballastera set him down, and for a half hour was trying to take the tangles out of that thing. Matter of fact, I fought it, and I finally got it out, and I tried it again, and on the first cast, it went way out, and zing, and then it snapped back, tangled up worse than it was. I spent another 20 minutes trying to get it out, and I couldn't, so I gave it away. I said, I'm through. I've had it. You're a better fisherman than I am. I don't want to waste my time with it. I had the wrong kind of equipment to do that type of fishing with.
Yeah.
It was all right over the edge of a little boat. But if you're trying to surf cast, you can't use that type of equipment. It just won't get the job done. But I had found out how mean some things can get tangled up.
Yeah.
And as I started to pull, and I used my knife and my teeth and anything I had trying to get the tangles out, it was one more job.
Yeah.
And listen to me, please. I've noticed in life,
yeah,
folks start out kind of slow.
Yeah.
But you can sure make a mess of things and have a heap of tangles before you get done.
Come on.
And I hope that I pray and hear me tonight. I hope there's nobody here that's going to allow themselves to get so tangled up in life that God Almighty won't even straighten them out. Did you know that if Solomon was here today, the wisest man that ever lived, he'd have to scratch his head and wonder how he'd get some things untangled. These are days of complications, and some folks just make a mess of everything. I said you can get tangled up.
Yeah.
And don't you dare get yourself so tangled up you can't get loose when that bugle blows.
Yeah.
You can get tangled up financially. And we'd have a whole lot better services if some folks weren't so tangled up.
That's right.
Some people can't get behind God's program.
Yeah.
I mean, they just can't back to church like they ought to back to church. They can't take $1 out of every $10 and put it in that tithe envelope. You know why? They're so tangled up, they can't get straightened out with God. In other words, they have a dollar here, and they said it's a $5 down there. And if you pay $10 a month here, and $10 a month there, and it's a dollar and a dollar a week, and here they go. They owe here, and they owe there, and they owe everywhere.
Yeah.
And pretty soon they owe more than they make.
Yeah.
And they're so tangled up financially that they can't get right with God.
Yeah,
don't you ever get to the place where you're going to allow yourselves to get tangled up where you can't stay straight with God. I watch young folks. Young folks nowadays, they want to live like some of you old timers do, and it's taken you 15 or 25 years to get where you are.
Yeah.
In other words, when they start out, they want to hire. I looked at a young fellow the other day, he got a job. You know how much he makes? $30 a week. $30 a week. You know what he's doing? He's trying out 1963 cars on $30 a week.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how you buy one. That won't hardly put the insurance and gas in it. And yet, young folks want to start out with nicest cars and the nicest furniture. And they want to have the nicest of things in life. They got to have the best washing machine. They got to have the best refrigerator.
Yeah.
They have to have the best food to eat. Bless God. If you're going to be God's child, you might have to drink old Brent's water and eat nothing but cornbread and beans to go to heaven. But you better not get tangled up when you can't be honest with God. That's the thing you're going to count. I appreciate a church where you got nice
heat. You have nice air conditioning. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I know around the country, there's a lot of churches, they don't have coal to put in the stove.
That's right.
There's a lot of churches don't have rugs left got to pray on. Oh, yes, sir. And folks will put clothes on their own back, but they can't give anything to God. Yeah. I don't care the church is paid for.
Oh.
I don't care if that's God, you do have air conditioning. And I don't care, you do have a nice heater. Thank God you still have to remember God's call and back it all the way off. You say, I can't afford it. Well, remember this. Don't ever get tangled up with this old world where you still can't remember God's cause.
Uh-huh.
The Lord's been talking to me.
I said he's been talking
preaching,
to me.
Preaching, yeah. Preaching. I've been praying about a poor old boy. A friend of mine that's a missionary. The Lord, I'm not super spiritual. I'm not a hyper spiritual fella that sees visions and dreams and angels don't come and talk to me and I don't get all kinds of signs in the night. If I learn anything, it's just out of the book in black and white there.
Lord,
but somehow I just had a feeling that one of my brethren was in need. And, you know, when you begin to get some of those things, if you don't watch out, you just put it off. I mean, just put it off. And say, well, somebody else might help, and somebody else might help. And presently I found that the old boy put some money down on the lot. He had 60 days to get the rest of it, and he didn't get it. And they were going to foreclose on him. And they gave him 15 more days to get the balance of it. And he didn't know where he was going to get it. And then when I heard about it, he only had 5 days left. Didn't know who to turn to. Didn't know where to go. And I was thinking, here we are, God's children. I mean, driving nice cars. Wearing maybe $70 suits. Having everything just like we want it.
Yeah.
If you want a milkshake, we live in a world, you can go get one.
Yeah.
If you want a T-bone steak, we're living in a land that God put your money down, you can get one.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, sir. You want roast beef, you can buy roast beef here.
No.
You don't have to put any ration tickets out.
No.
You don't have to stand in line to get it. You want nice wristwatches, you can buy it. Bless God, whatever you want. You want to buy a nice camera or a nice little amplifier, whatever this recorder's called here, you can get this made here. Oh, yes, sir. We're living in this kind of world. But remember, somewhere somebody's going hungry. Remember, somewhere somebody hasn't got the right kind of bed. Somebody's walking. Bless God, they might even be barefooted tonight. Somebody is doing without a whole lot of things while we're taking it easy. And I begin to get worried about meeting God at the end of the road when I've had it so easy and I haven't got a care in this world. I wonder tonight, have I got so tangled up with the cares and the affairs of this world that God can't speak to me anymore?
I
finally got on the telephone and I called all over the USA. Every friend I had said, I'm taking up an offer for a missionary. And I said, you just send it to me and I'll tell my church treasurer to send the money now because they can't wait. And we sent him $1,800 just a couple days ago. And I don't know if he's got it yet. He don't know what's coming. But I know one thing. I went on down and I said, Jesus, I don't want any credit or nothing like that. But oh God, if I run off a cliff or get struck dead or something, I can lay me down and go to sleep knowing that somehow I haven't had a selfish motive about your work. Brother, if there's anything I hate, it's selfish folks.
Yeah.
If there's anything I hate, it's to see somebody that just thinks about themselves. But Job said, I didn't eat my morsel alone. He said, when I saw that widow over there, bless God, I made sure she had some wood there for her fire.
Yeah.
And I saw that little old orphan, I made sure he had some food to put in his mouth. Oh, he put clothes on the back. He put food in their belly. Oh, he said he wouldn't even eat his sandwich all by himself. Why? Because he had a burden for somebody else. And this is such a selfish old world. My God, help us to have a
business.
Oh, yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
I said, you can get tangled up.
Yeah.
You can get tangled up morally.
Yeah.
Oh, you can get tangled up morally.
Yeah.
I saw a poor fellow come in there with his wife. What counsel? I was laying flat on my back in bed just a couple of days ago, and I couldn't hardly turn over. And I tell you, I got so mad laying there, I got up. Even if I did hurt. When somebody was trying to assassinate someone else.
Yes.
Somebody trying to run them down. Somebody trying to lie on them. I said, you tell those devils, if they want to know anything, just get on the phone and give me the other end of it. I'll stand up for anybody that wants to go on with God. I don't care if they are tempted. And I don't care if they are trying. If they're honest with God and mean business with God, I'll stand by.
Yeah.
We're against dishonesty. We're against sin that's covered up. You remember this. If you ever get tangled up, you stay tangled up until you come clean before God.
Yeah.
You can't ever get straightened out unless you get right with God and be honest with God. If you ever stub your toe and fall down on the ground, you will stay down until you learn how to repent and make it right with God. Well, they keep dragging David up all the time, but he was doing all right until one day he got tangled up.
Yeah.
I said he got tangled up.
Yeah.
He really got tangled up.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't run out to battle anymore. He couldn't hold his head high anymore. But bless God, if you want to run out and get busy for God again, if you want to hold your head high again, there's only one way you can do it, and that's get untangled. But God can't straighten anybody out. God can't help anybody when they're trying to cover up something here. I said you got to get right with God. You've got to come clean before God. Oh, God, help the church again to know that this altar is not just for the sinner. This is for the saints too.
Yeah.
You need to come and say, God, get all the tangles out of my life.
Yeah.
I want to get straightened out with God. I want to stay true with God. And notice this. If you're entangled again, they're in and overcome. Overcome. Brother, it said why? The latter in there is worse than the beginning.
Yeah.
You can get tangled up doctrinally.
Mm-hmm.
You can get all tangled up in doctrine.
Yeah.
I don't have any great revelation to bring you tonight. I'm not here to prove to you that I can teach the Bible. I'm not here to do any more but just kind of talk from my heart to your heart.
Amen.
But I'll say this.
Amen.
There's a whole lot of folks that are really tangled up in the book.
Amen.
You know what?
Yes, sir.
Some of the greatest and best teachers we ever had, something's happened to them.
Yeah.
They look in here, and all of a sudden, they say, you don't need to talk in tongues anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't have to talk in tongues to be saved, they tell me.
Yeah.
All you got to do is just kind of have the fruit of the Spirit. That's a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah.
But if you ever get the Holy Ghost, you speak with other tongues.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, you will.
Yeah, you will.
And if you speak with tongues and get the Holy Ghost, the fruit of the Spirit's going to be there.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people might try to put on holiness and put on meekness and put on long clothes. But bless God, you can't put on this Holy Ghost tongues. It's going to come from up there.
Yeah.
Now, listen to me, please. You still have to speak in tongues. Don't care what anybody said.
Yeah.
You got to speak again and again and again.
Oh,
and if you're going to break through, you still have to talk.
Praise the Lord.
Well, you say I backslid and I went out in the world. Now what I do? Come on back here and seek the Lord. Shall I just seek tongues? You better seek a refilling with God. You need a refilling of holiness.
Amen.
You need tongues. You need holy boldness. You say, oh brother, I spoke in tongues and nothing happened. Well, I didn't change. Well, tongues just isn't enough. You're coming back, you got to get full of the Holy Ghost.
Yay.
Oh yes, and you're full of the Holy Ghost, you speak in tongues. Oh yes, sir. And you'll live this thing too. But you know, you gotta come on back. And, all right, here I am, preacher. What I have to do? Well, he said, you come on back here tonight. Let me take some of the tangles out of you. You're all tangled up with this idea. And you're tangled up with the other idea. And you're tangled up with this doctrine. That's why I tell people, if you're baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, you stay put in a good watered-down church home. You don't need to run after every healer that comes by. You don't need to get out here and listen to some old Trinity doctrine. I had a lady, I wondered why I put so much emphasis upon it, and I was talking about these oil drippers. And I said, I'm not going to mince any words tonight. Those fellas are of the pure, plain old devil. Yes. They don't belong to God. Yes. And you can keep all these teeth fillers and all these oil drippers and all these other fellas. Their past life is about as crooked as a dog's hind leg.
Yes.
Oh, yes, it's so. And then they went all out. And pretty soon she kind of got discouraged and said, your church hasn't got enough power. It don't have enough shout. It don't have enough demonstration. But bless God, I know what the trouble was. It had too much holiness. It had too much word. Yes, it did. And there's a lot of folks looking for an excuse. And pretty soon she went to the church across town that had 1,700 in Sunday school. And she made a little criticism and said, now, if you really had the truth, you would have more than 250 or 240, whatever was running. You would have 1,700 like they got. Oh, yes, sir. And it kind of looked like the other side was right, and we're all wrong. And she said, there's a fellow there that lost his arm, and God brought him another one. But it grew again. I don't care. Bless God, if you plucked his eyes out and it grew back again, that don't make it right. Brother, that don't make it right. No, it don't make it right.
Bless God.
I don't care. They can call fire down from heaven and raise the dead. That won't make it right. If it's not according to this Bible, it's not right. If it's not in the Bible, it's not right. She sat there one time, and all of a sudden that old hand that grew back again on that healer, she said, I saw Gordon's disappear. I said, probably did. And she said, I saw cross eyes straighten on me. Am I a man? I'm not going to deny it. You sit right there, you say so. I believe you're an honest woman. Then, oh yes, but one day she went and saw all that, and some of the oil was beginning to drop from his fingers. Oh, brother, flesh on her neck began to crawl, and she told the one, let's get out of here. Said, the sermon that Ballester preached one time has come back to me. Oh, it's come on back. He told me, hey, you see this, that means you've been deceived, and this is of the devil. She says, I've been hoodwinked. I've been fooled. She said, let's get out of here as quick as we can. She had already cut her hair off. She had bought some slacks and shorts for her daughter. And you listen to me. When you leave a good old-fashioned oneness church, the standard's going down for you. Oh, yes, it's so. You say, I'll walk right on with God. No, you won't. You're going to walk down. Oh, you're going to lose something somewhere. You can't get mad at the pastor. You can't get mad at the message. You can't get mad at God and go on. You're going down. But oh, bless God, she said, what do I have to do? I said, in my church, you got to get up and repent to the whole congregation. Oh, yes, you do. You got to get back and say, I've been deceived. Now I've let this message go. Oh, I can look the other way. If somebody got weak and had television, I know they got weak. Down in the heart, they know it's wrong. I can look the other way. Well, they went out there, and I preach against television. You know I do. Yeah. I can look the other way. Bless God, if they've gone to the picture show, which is the same thing as TV anyhow. Oh, yes, because people are morons. I can look the other way if somebody got mad and wanted to fight because they're men. I can look the other way when some woman got kind of discouraged and kind of trimmed her hair because I know the battle some women have over that. But when somebody preached this message and somebody said there's nothing to Jesus' name and somebody sells this thing out for the Trinity doctrine, girl, I'm hurt. Oh, I mean, I'm hurt. I'm hurt way down deep inside. There's nothing on earth that can even take this thing's place. Nobody we can even come anywhere near this one God message. I said, you owe this church an apology. I mean, it's wrong to cut your hair. It's wrong to put on slacks. And it's wrong to buy some old shorts for your daughter. But the worst crime you ever did, brother, is when you sold this message out and said, I'm going to Trinity. Oh, it's so anyhow. And we got them tangled up. One time they told me, the officials of the organization way out of Oregon, they said, we want you to knock on doors in this city.
They tell me there's 200 people, Jesus' name, that are sitting in Trinity churches. You go get them out of all the Trinity churches and you start a women's church in this city. You know what? We want all around them trying to get folks, but you don't get them out of there. You don't get them out of there. Do you think they'd dig down in their pocket and build another church for God? They'd rather stay in a three-God church. They'd rather stay in false, rotten doctrine. They'd rather stay sitting out there because they've got a building paid for. They don't want to sacrifice. They had to let the work of God go down. And they're tangled up. And they can't get out of it. We want to God have a folks get that way. You can get tangled up in doctrine. I said all tangled up in doctrine. Whenever you begin to scratch your head and you're beginning to wonder if there's one or three, you better start getting excited. You begin to scratch your head and begin to wonder, does it pay to live holy? Oh, yes. Do I need to live holy or don't I need to live holy? You better start scratching your head and say, God, where do I stand before you? God wants to straighten you out somehow. There was a fellow one time that heard a king making his little speech. Oh, he was talking about starting a new organization. Oh, yes, he was. He said, I'm going to start a new organization. And he said, as a matter of fact, we're not going up to Jerusalem to worship. But he said, we're going to Dan and we're going to Bethel. And he said, we're going to go ahead and start this new move. Oh, say, you say, what would you do if you wasn't UPC? I'd just be free. I'd just be nothing. I belong to God and be His man.
Yeah.
Yes, I would.
Yeah.
I'd be God's man. There's a lot of other little things running around, but I don't see much there either. I don't see much there either. No, sir. And there's a lot of folks looking for a great position, you know.
Yeah.
Looking for a big office, don't you know. They want to be somebody. And oh, you sang a song tonight to be like Jesus. And I believe the fellow that wrote that wanted to be like Jesus when he wrote it. But one day he got the big head.
Yeah.
And he couldn't be the big boss. And he couldn't be the top speaker all the time. And he'd only come if you had his name on the top line, don't you know? But let me tell you something. If you want to be like Jesus, you're going to have to get pretty low just to be like him.
Yeah.
He was meek and he was lowly.
Yes.
A lot of people had big ideas one time in their life. But if you lost your consecration, and you lost your determination, and you lost the right attitude with God, you better get straightened out again.
Yeah.
This man said, I'll start me an organization. His name was Jeroboam. And he says, all right. Here's now is going to be our gods. And he got out the golden calves. And he said, we'll worship these. And he didn't have the Levitical priesthood. But the Bible said he made him priest of the lowest of the people. And a lot of these fellows that are trying to start things off, brother, they got the lowest of the people out there. Oh, yes, they have. They got folks that have been in all kinds of sin. They have folks that have been in all kinds of false doctrine. And oh, yes, that's the truth anyhow. And they stood them all around there and said, come on now, folks, this is the way you do it. And he made the incense go. And they got them all ready to worship. And suddenly, out of the rank and file of that mass of humanity, stepped an unknown preacher. I don't know what his age was. I don't know how what side he parted his hair on. I don't know whether he was white, snow white-headed or whether he was curly black-headed. I don't know whether he was 6 feet tall or 5 foot one. But I know one thing. He had the message. And when he stepped out there, bless God, he said, stop this thing. Thus saith the Lord. There's going to come a time when God's going to raise up a man. His name is going to be Josiah. And he's going to offer men's bones upon this altar. And the king stretched forth his hand and said, stop him! Lay hold on that man. Brother, when he said that, his hand shrunk up. Well, you better get your hands off of God's preacher.
Yeah.
I said, you better keep your hand off of God's preacher.
Come
on. Oh, the king's hand, it all shrunk up. Oh, say, the little prophet, he looked at him and said, thus say the Lord, there is going to come a time when God is going to do what I said. If you don't believe it, just to show you that God has spoken, he said, let this altar be rent, and let the ashes pour out on the ground. And brother, the altar busted smack in two, and the ashes fell on the ground. Oh, they knew it was God there, but the king was all crippled up and didn't know how to get set free. But all God's man began to pray. The king said, "Oh, say, won't you pray to God for me? You need somebody to talk to God for you. You gotta have somebody call and order God for you. You're not gonna make it by yourself."
No, sir, you can't.
Where were you when God dug you out? Where were you when God found you? And you! Where were you? Brother, I can see where I was when God found me. I mean it. I'm not going to talk about my past. I'm not going to talk about my past. But I can't tell you all the jails I've been in. I can't tell you all the devilment I've been in.
Amen.
I can't tell you all the time I've been in trouble. I'm sorry for it all. I was raised in the gutter. I didn't know any better. Oh, yes, God brought us all from a long way. And if I quit now, if I go back under now, I'm the biggest fool that ever was. I talked to one of my fine young ladies in the church, 16 years old, and quit school. Her mother let her quit school. I don't know why these moms do that anyhow. Well, and she was taking money out of her mama's business, watching her brother do it. And he was going to run off to another state. And she was going to run off with him. Oh, yeah. Mom didn't know about it. She knew something was wrong, but didn't know about it. And they was praying. All of a sudden, this girl fell in love with a sinner. And she wanted to elope with a sinner. And I set her down and said, 2 years ago when I saw you, you were nothing but a Baptist. You were deceived. You thought you were saved. You was a million miles from God. You had your short hair. And you wore your lipstick. And you thought you was once in grace and always in grace. And my God filled you with the Holy Ghost. And he laid you on your back. And you spoke in tongues for a day and a half and couldn't stop. And you went to school speaking in tongues. And you laid down on the floor for hours under the power of God. Oh, yes, you did. And then here comes even a couple preachers came in. And one of them was a brethren preacher and a Baptist preacher. And they stood over and listened and said, "I never heard nothing like it in my life. After experiences like this, if you walk on with God and get tangled up, you're a fool." He wanted to tell her, preacher. I told her I'd rather she had doubled up her fist and hit me in the face. I'd rather you spit in my face than walk out on God's message and run with a sinner boy after all you've been taught. And you're going to get tangled up with a thing like that. And you're going to unite with an old world boy. And you want to wrap your life up with a sinner. And you know there's already been trouble in the church. And there's some poor boys and poor girls that live in hell because they wouldn't listen to a preacher. And they got all tangled up.
Yeah, oh.
Don't you get tangled up. You better profit by somebody else's sad mistake. Oh, it's so anyhow. I said it's so anyhow. The old preacher, he said, "Pray for me." She said, "All right, would you pray for me?" I said, "All right, let's get down and pray through." You'd be surprised. She said, "It's no use, it's no use, it's no use." But I have found when folks get to a place that can't go on, if they just have a little talk with Jesus, everything's all right. Oh, the devil makes it look so bad. Instead, you're so tangled up you can't get free again. But you watch Jesus roll those waters back. You just watch him roll the old burden away. Somebody said, "I did wrong." I don't care if I did do wrong. Bless God, let's get all the tangles out and go on with God. You don't need to whip yourself. Hate yourself. Bless God, get the tangles out. And let's go on with God again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, that old boy just preached such a sermon. Suddenly the king said, "Come on, take dinner with me. Take supper with me.
Let's eat.
No, he said, the God that gave me this message said I can't even eat with anybody in this town or drink any water with anybody in this town. I just have to go on my way. Well, the king said, okay. And he went on. One of the boys saw what went on, a young preacher, a young priest. He ran on home and said, Dad, I know you're a prophet, but you should have heard that preacher today. Oh, brother, we never heard such a message. We never heard this preaching in all of our life. Said, who was it? Never saw him before. But he had the message, and God used him. Which way did he go? He went out yonder toward that big old tree on the edge of the city. And they found the prophet of God sitting down. I mean, he was tired. He was trying to save up a little strength and walk on toward the next town. Just a little bit more of a walk, and he'd been around the corner. A few more miles, maybe, and he'd have been out of sight. Yeah. But he waited a little bit too long. And sometimes we just wait around too long, yeah, and we get tangled up again. Preacher come. He said, now, come on, go home with me, and let's eat a little supper. Oh, no. He said, the God that gave me this message and told me to preach, he told me not to get tangled up with anybody. He told me I just can't eat with anybody. Amen. I just can't drink with anybody. Well, he said, that's funny. He said, because an angel just talked to me and stood by my bedside. And when I take a little nap there, and he told me to tell you it's all right to come and eat. Everything will be all right. Angel just told me. Oh, he said, he did. Well, yes, sir. Well, all right, let's go. You listen to me, please. When God said no, it's still no. I don't care what anybody says. Don't care what an angel says. I don't care what a false prophet says about it. When God says no, it still means no. Yeah. He went all over, and he ate with that fella, and he drank with that fella. And the funny thing about it, he settled for a little old glass of water, and he settled for a little old piece of black bread when he could have had a king's banquet. And you know, some folks, when they sell out, they could have sold out for something a whole lot better. But they wind up selling out for a cigarette. Selling out for an old ugly boy, or an old ugly girl, or a little old cheap job that's even not even working. Maybe a 10-cent raise. Now, let me tell you something. You better make up your job, or your mind not to get tangled up with anything. If your job's going to stand in the way, quit that job. If that boy's in the way, quit that boy. I saw a fine girl in our church just the other day that wanted to go down to the altar and pray. And my wife went to her and said, honey, won't you come? Because she said, that's just a gift with praying with folks. And won't you get down and pray with these seekers? Young teenager that's so wrapped up in some old ugly boy that won't even pray and won't even talk to God. And suddenly she looked at her boyfriend. He said, uh-oh. Let me tell you something, young lady. If you're sitting and you claim to have the Holy Ghost and you're sitting with a boy that don't want to pray or don't want you to pray, you better drop him like a hot potato. I mean, a fellow like that not fit to go with. I shoot that fellow between the eyes every time he comes out to church. That's the only way you can help anybody like that that's so tangled up in themselves, wrapped up in their own ego, and don't want to go in the door and don't want anybody else to get inside. But oh, God, help us to get straightened out and go on with you again. Israel got tangled up in the wilderness. Israel got tangled up with other gods. Achan got tangled up with man. And you, Father Balaam, got tangled up for filthy lucre. And one by one, you can see folks all through the Bible that got tangled up again and again and again. But if you're going to be God's man, don't get tangled up. But walk on. Say, oh God, I want you to help me. Notice, these fellas promise you a lot of things. They say, well, even some preachers do. They preach one thing and do another. Some preachers do.
Yes,
yes they do.
Yes, they do.
Oh, but if you've escaped the world, that is the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then you become entangled therein and overcome by it all. Latter end is worse than the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, it always hurts me when I see somebody like Korah. Old Korah got up one time, and he didn't like Moses. He said, I think it's time we got rid of him. I think we need another preacher. And so, we're going to get rid of him. Well, I know that there's always going to be somebody, maybe that doesn't have the same type of vision or personality as the other fella. You're going to have to make concessions in life. That's the truth. When you get married, you don't always see eye to eye with your wife, unless she's blind. You know, you don't always see eye to eye with folks. We have to give and take, don't we?
Yeah.
Sure. Matter of fact, when I was first married, I told my wife to go home to her mama two or three times. If she'd have done it, I'd have hit the suitcase and tore off the bus ticket.
Yeah.
Or even
yeah.
I'd try to do it. But you know how a fella gets mad.
Yeah.
I had to pray through about it. God bless her, she's a jewel. I wouldn't let her get out of my sight. But you know how a fella do. And you gotta kinda, give and take. But yet, some folks, you know, they're liable to watch out. And as sure as any decision has to be made, if you don't watch out, you're liable to find yourself getting on the wrong side.
Yeah.
You listen to me, please.
Yeah.
You're liable to find yourself standing with the wrong party. And it may be that sometimes the thing you want to do is the right thing.
Yeah.
But if you go at the right thing the wrong way, you're in trouble with God and everybody else.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I'm just talking. And then suddenly, you're liable to say, well, now, I almost. Well, then Cora says, I'm going to get rid of him. God's spoken by me. I don't think God did a thing for him, hardly. He probably was a good man at one time. I want to tell you something. The Bible said to cleanse yourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. Now, you have two things to worry about. You got some outside sins that everybody can see. In other words, if I walked in here with a big cigar in my hand, and you know we had a national convention and there was two of our preachers that walked up on the conference steps with cigars. They went down to these joke shops and they got cigars. If you bit on them, smoke come out. They were fake cigars. But I believe God hates stuff like that.
Yeah.
You don't need to act like you're smoking. You might as well do it.
Yeah.
I don't believe in foolishness like that.
Okay.
No, sir. And they out there just joking around. We wonder why we can't get people to God. I said, it's a tragedy. And the big name preachers, they might be a big name with the organization, but their little name with me and God.
Sure.
I'm on God's side on that.
All right.
Hallelujah. All right. True. And here they are. You know, if I'd walk in here with a big stogie in my hand, preach, would you say amen to me? Would you say amen to me? If I'd walk in here with a duck tail haircut, I mean long sideburns, little old wax mustache maybe.
Yeah.
Huh?
Come on.
I mean little old ankle choker pants look like you need a shoehorn to get them on.
Yeah. I know.
Big old chain, you know how these jelly beans dress.
Yeah.
And I mean get a guitar, do that old rock and roll business.
Yeah,
you know? Well, that's true.
Sure.
Well, now, or shall I get up and just act like Pentecost?
Three.
Lord! And a man come here and said, that old boy plays the field. He's an old adulterer. An adulterer. We don't want an adulterer preaching here. Of course not. You don't want a cigar smoker preaching here. No. The fella said, he cursed. I heard him swear. Dirty words. You wouldn't have an old boy like that. An old Baptist tool. You wouldn't have one of those set up, chew the back, come out here, would you? Of course not. But wait a minute. If a man came and had hatred in his heart, you don't see that. Had envy in there. I mean, you don't see that. Huh? If a man come out here and maybe had bitterness in there. Huh? He hadn't been in America. We let him sing. Let him preach. We let them talk.
Yeah.
We let them go right off. But what's worse in the sight of God?
All right.
We'll just fellowship a man for getting drunk. And yet we look the other way if he's got hatred in there. And I had a preacher tell me one time, he said, listen to me. If anybody crosses me, I'll never forgive. He said, I can't get it out. I'd rather be dead than feel like that.
Yeah.
I'd rather be dead than feel like that. My God said, we got to forgive. You got to forgive your enemy.
Yeah. Right.
Don't you ever get so tangled up and you get so swayed by anybody. I don't care if you're the best preacher or the best deacon or the best song leader or the best friend or your wife or brother, sister, mother, whoever it is, don't you be tangled up by anybody.
I'm going on with God.
If somebody hasn't got the right attitude, I'm going to pray for them, but I'm going on with God. I'm going to have to make up my mind not to get tangled up. I'm running this race. I don't want to trip them out. I don't want to get my legs all wrapped around and bound around. I want to make sure I can run. I've got to be saved. And there's some folks can't run anymore. There's some folks who are tangled up that can't even call to God anymore. And they can't climb the hill like they used to climb the hill. And one of the strength is gone. And they're tangled up with this clicker. And they're tangled up with that thing. And they're tangled up with that job. Or they're tangled up with that boy or that girl. My God, get untangled tonight. And go on with God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
I'm going to close. Oh, I don't know how some folks get to some of the things they do. I don't know how they get into some of the things they do. Oh, I've seen some mighty wonderful people, good people. But, brother, they got tangled up. I left Southern Illinois one time with 50 cents, preacher. You say, where was your home? 2,500 miles away. I had an inch of ice on the car. Two little babies. I spent my last $4 in a motel. 50 cents for milk and post toasties. And I had 50 cents left put in the gas tank. And I went to St. Louis. I got to St. Louis. I had $14 in an Oregon bank. I wrote a check. Said, boys, you just have to trust me that it's there. And they gave me the $14. I got a lube job, filled it up with gas. I went to Oklahoma City. And I met R.C. Wise, the preacher there, got one leg now. And he gave me a little offering, $10. He didn't give me an offering. He said, I'm sending this in the organization. He didn't know my condition. I wouldn't tell anybody. You know how the old school is.
Yeah.
Never tell nobody. Going hungry, die tomorrow. 10 o'clock, wouldn't tell anybody.
No.
We're trying to be like God.
Yeah.
God said, if I was hungry, wouldn't tell you.
Yeah.
And so that's what he said. We just want folks to supply the need. That's the way I believe it.
Yeah.
Of course, I had to change a few tactics. I started out preaching. I wouldn't even let them take me up an offer.
I
said, I'll just let them put it in my pocket. I like to starve to death.
Yeah.
I had to give it a little bit. Nobody did nothing about it. This is tithes. He said, this is my district tithes. He said, I got sent into headquarters. Yeah, $10, probably was only about $10 a year in those days anyhow. Now it takes about $250 to get you through.
Yeah.
And so I went over there. And he said, say, he said, in case you have a flat tire, war's on, you know, and no, they couldn't get any tires, mine all ball headed. And he said, now, he said, if you have a blowout, you need some just in case a misfortune happens, he says, use this. If you, when you get home and you haven't used it, he said, just send it in for me. I said, okay, God bless you. I used it before I went 2 blocks. Yeah, I was broke. I was dead broke. I couldn't have gone on. Well, old Jimmy Davis come through an old 36 Pontiac, and I had a 41 Nash, and I think it had a washing machine motor. Floorboard, it only go 50 miles an hour. I couldn't hardly get the thing to run. And I mean floorboard, it went 50 miles an hour, wide open. We was going along, mile after mile after mile. And we went on down to El Paso because we couldn't go through Albuquerque. The roads were closed and froze over. And 500 cars, the paper said, was in the ditch because of ice, January 1st. And here I was coming into El Paso on a wing and a prayer. And the heater broke. Cold. Babies crying. and I wouldn't eat. I would just get a little bologna and a piece of bread for the kiddies, and I was fasting, and poor old wife crying, and couldn't get her a Bible. Nobody heard of Ballester. I knocked on one fellow's door, and the organization said, he'll give you a meeting. I knocked the door, and he said, who are you? I said, Ballester, never heard of you. Goodbye. Slammed the door. He still hadn't heard of me, I guess. And I said, God, I told you I'm going to preach. The shipyards were there, and airplane factory was there. I said, I'm not going to go to work. Keep calling me to preach, and I'm going to preach.
Yeah.
Bless God, you made me a preacher. I'm going to preach.
Yeah.
I'm starving to death trying to preach.
Uh-huh.
And I did, almost, but I stayed with it anyhow. I never forget that big old rambling ranch house they had down there. They had a big old house, and God bless that woman. She was a nice-looking lady, and he was such a good-looking man. Yeah, I never thought they'd ever do a thing wrong. He took a liking to me and put an old tire on the back of my car, and, you know, we just strapped them on here and there, little old things, trying to get us through. And he said, here's $5 for coming to visit me. All the money I had, that $5, I don't know how I got across this country with that little bit of money I had. And a car get about 27, 28 miles to gallon. And with that motor, I can understand it. And then I stayed a couple nights with him, and Brother Jimmy Davis was there, and he went on, and I followed him. And he gave me that $5. I said, boy, he said, God bless you. Hope you make it. And I went out. Went on, I forgot all about that nice preacher, so kind to me. I never told him my troubles. I just got up preaching his service, and he slipped me a $5 bill. Well, when I got to where I was going, I had 17 cents and about less than a gallon of gas in that whole tank. We got some more money filled up, and we just barely got in there. Then it wasn't long after that, maybe a year, somebody says, did you hear about so-and-so's wife? I said, no. Oh, I tell you, she's through. I mean, she run off with another man. I said, oh, no. Did you hear about him? I said, why, no, what? Why, he turned his back on Jesus' name message, and he's a superintendent of the Sunday school in a Methodist church. I said, no. And the preacher turned out to be a Methodist superintendent, and the preacher's wife run off with another man in adultery. Home broken up. How did he get tangled up? How in the world did he get so tangled up? And I forgot all about them for 10 years or 12 years. 15 years now it's been. Oh, maybe longer. Good 15 anyhow. And all of a sudden, I just come through there this year, and here they are. Their boy is a big teenager running around in a hot rod car now. And he got to acting kind of smart, and he had another crash with another car head on playing the old chicken game, you know. But he didn't make it. He died. Somebody didn't move out of the way, and he got reckless and died. You know what that mother did? She might have been in an awful tangled up mess. But she ran in that funeral parlor and pulled that boy of hers, 18 years old, whatever he was, out of the casket, stiff as a board, pulled him up out of there, held him in her hands. He was out straight like a piece of wood. And she walked like a mad woman, up and down the hall screaming, God, he's lost! He's lost! He's lost! Bring him back! God, he's lost! I won't let him go! You can't have him, God! You can't have him! But God took him anyhow. Tangled up. How do they get tangled up like that? And you'll find that a lot of folks at the end of their road have gotten so tangled up, it looked like some of them never will get straightened out because they stayed that way so long. If you've got some tangles in your soul tonight, won't you get down with God? I'm not trying to make confess to me.
But get down before God and say, Lord, I want all these tangles out of here. I don't want to be overcome by it. I want to have a heart, God, for your work. I want to have the right attitude. I want the right spirit. I want the right consecration. I've got to make heaven my home. I don't want to get tangled up in sin. If you've got your eye on the wrong person, you better get it off. If you've got your heart on the wrong thing, you better get it off. If you've got your mind where it goes wrong, you better get it off before you get tangled up and go to hell because of it.
Tangled souls, shall we stand?